News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
France is looking at the possibility of becoming the first European country to ban social media for children. The Senate has voted this evening to ban the access to the sites for people under the age of 15 and is looking at a complete ban in all senior schools for the use of mobile phones. Alistair Bunkle is with the Sky News Europe correspondents. Alistair, this is one of those devil is in the details things. Have they expressed how they intend to police this?
No, that is the kind of, well, one of the kind of outstanding issues to be resolved. It will probably need to be done on a European level. The European Commission is looking at a way that it can be enforced, but they probably won't have a kind of a unified approach until next year at least, which I think for a lot of countries, certainly France, is too far away. Emmanuel Macron wants to get this into law in France by September of this year, in time for the new academic school year to start. But the one thing that the French are insistent on is that it will be the responsibility of the social media platforms themselves. I spoke yesterday to the French MP who initially brought this bill to the lower house of parliament. I said, you know, who would be responsible? So if a child did break the ban and get onto social media, would it be the child's responsibility, the parents? But they were very clear it would be the responsibility of the social media platforms themselves to ensure that children under the age of 15 weren't allowed to be on their networks.
It would seem to be an existential threat to some of those platforms, because while they may have cohorts that are over 15, I suspect they get their user base at quite a young age and then retain them as they age into their later teen years. If they can't get them at that early age, it could mean their end, presumably.
Well, I think that certainly there's a real concern amongst the social media platforms because, you know, as you say, I mean, that kind of generation is a big market for them. And I think we have seen some of the social media platforms look at ways that they can make their sites more child-friendly, if you like. But that doesn't seem to be passing muster with most European capitals. I should say, you know, it's the Australians and the Indonesians are the two countries in the world that have already passed bans. The French would be the first in Europe, but not the only country by any means looking at this. The Irish are, but the Greeks, the Germans, the Spanish, the Italians, and in Britain there's a conversation going on as well. Politically, it seems to be, you know, a bit of a no-brainer, really, in the countries that I've spoken to, that, you know, this is widely, not universally, but widely supported. Certainly, the last couple of days I've spent in Paris speaking to children, speaking to teachers and speaking to parents. It does have support, but I'm sure there'll be legal challenges. I mean, take someone like YouTube, for example. They say they're a streaming site, but others might argue that they are also a social media site where you can upload videos, you can interact with people. And therein lie the dangers.
And of course, YouTube has pivoted to YouTube Shorts, which is effectively a TikTok generic that does exactly the same kind of addictive algorithm use that TikTok did. Now, you mentioned the other countries that are having the conversation, and you mentioned Ireland in that. We looked to some extent at the Australian experience, and what seems to have been the feedback from the government was that it was so easy to circumvent and circumnavigate that it wasn't worth putting a ban in place. I assume the French looked at the same with Indonesia and Australia. They've taken a different lesson. They think it's achievable.
Well, the French would describe this as a public health issue, a bit of a public health crisis. Again, the same MP who brought the bill, I asked her, you know, is there a certain element of the nanny state about this? Should you not leave it to parents to police what their children can and can't do? And her argument, her reply was that, look, it is a public health issue and we have to step in the way that we, and frankly most countries, have done when it comes to the sale of cigarettes or alcohol. There is an age limit on those, and there should be an age limit on this as well. And I suppose they would argue, and supporters of a ban would argue, that the potential for children to get around this ban should not mean that a government should not go ahead with it. Yeah, children, we all know, we've all been there. You have a fake ID, for example, if you want to try and buy some alcohol or you want to buy cigarettes. There are ways around things. Of course there are, and people will try and find their ways around those things. But if you can put in a ban that, for the majority, is effective, then that is worth doing. And I think that would be the argument, certainly in France.
Alistair, I am shocked at the revelation that a man with a reputation such as yours would even consider having had a fake ID. Alistair, thank you very much. Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Europe correspondent, 53106. If you want to get in touch, or 087-1400-106. Well, the good news continues. While we're coming to terms with petrol prices and diesel prices soaring, more prices are going up because for the fourth year in a row, customers of Air, Sky, 3 and Vodafone are going to see an increase in the price of TV, broadband and phone services. Dara Cassidy is Cassandra in this piece. He's head of communications at bonkers.ie. Dara, bring us the bad news.
Good morning, Anton. Yes, no good news, unfortunately, if you are, as you've said, a customer of 3, Vodafone and Air. For what is now the 4th April in a row, you're going to see the price of most of your services go up by another 3 or 4 euro a month. In some cases, it may be a little bit more. So you could be looking at paying an extra maybe 40 to 60 euro a year for your broadband TV, and your mobile might be going up as well. And that's because these providers now, 3, Vodafone and Air, every April, they've all started copying each other and introducing these annual price adjustments or automatic price adjustments where people's bills go up every single April. It was a little bit controversial, I would argue, at first, because I think it does, the way they are doing it, amount to price signalling. But I have to say the CCP did look into it and didn't have a problem. So I have to reiterate that. But if you're a listener, and there's loads of them out there, I mean, these are 3 big companies, you're going to be hit with another price hike over the coming days, unfortunately.
And to what extent is that them exploiting customer inertia? Because I assume, like a lot of markets, they would know that once a customer's with them 2 or 3 years, they can gradually and incrementally notch the prices up and the customer will just live with it.
There's probably an element of that, but I mean, at bonkers.ie, I'd always be encouraging people to switch and save. Every market has a certain amount of inertia, whether it's, you know, broadband or energy or health insurance. Some have more than others, like maybe the mortgage market. But with the broadband sector, it is quite surprising when you look at the people who have switched. It is actually relatively high. Anywhere from maybe 15 to a third of people will say they'll have switched over the past few years. And with the rollout of the national broadband plan, and companies like Virgin Media, for example, are constantly upgrading their network, there is more choice out there than ever before, because sometimes what people say is, well, you know, I'm kind of stuck with one provider. I don't even have fibre in my home. I would say to people, if maybe you looked at switching 2 or 3 years ago and just felt that there was nothing there, do look again, because you might be surprised at the options that are out there for you. And there are some big savings. Just very quickly, Anton, I mean, you could save 50 or 60 euro a month on your broadband and TV if you were to look at switching today, which could save you maybe 720 euro over the course of the year.
For the same service?
For the exact same service, maybe you might get slightly different TV channels, but most of us aren't even watching TV these days. We're watching streaming services. And to put that 720 euro into context, because obviously there's been a lot of focus on the price of petrol and diesel, which I absolutely understand, but saving 720 euro, having that in your back pocket, is like getting a 60 cent cut in the price of petrol and diesel. Or another way of looking at it, it's getting free petrol and diesel for maybe 4 or 5 months. So it's not an insignificant amount of money. And if inflation begins to creep up again over the coming months, which there is a big fear that that is going to happen, switching on our bills, whether it's energy, broadband, you know, home insurance, car insurance, it really is a great way to combat rising inflation.
Dara, fair play for finding a silver lining to attach to the cloud. That is Dara Cassidy, who is head of communications at bonkers.ie.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.